Hey guys, I'm Craig Slate, and you're listening to
what's the saying? Save the best for last.
Save the best for last.
We
that's
saved
for
the
sure.
best for last today, for sure.
So we're being joined by none other than Miss Kathy Burns, who is the CEO of IFPA, and she is this is her baby. This is her baby, and but this is the little one, right? This is not the big baby.
Oh, we love all our children, Craig.
You love them all.
We love all our children.
But no, Kathy, this is you know, and we've had on several of the interviews that we've had has been for years one of my favorite shows, right? And it's the size. It's yeah. One, it's Monterey.
Exactly.
And then the size of the show. But what's it? 42 years.
Yeah, I think it's about 42 years.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah,
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy. Yeah. So what do you think? How's it gone?
Yeah, well, first of all, Craig, Ed, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. This is a real treat to be able to spend some time with you at the end of our food service conference. It's hard to believe that the best 5.5 hours in the food service world and produce just is concluding. So I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. So it's been great. I'm able to share numbers, which is always exciting.
Yeah,
we crested 2,200 attendees. Last time we were here, we were around 1,900. And what's most impressive about the numbers, because I know people get excited about the top end of the number, and people always want to know the number, but the depth and breadth of people that were here this time, whether it was the chefs, the K-12 foods, school food service directors, the operators, the wholesale distributors. I mean, we had such a neat, almost 900, around 900 buyers. So for every one grower, shipper, or business solution provider that was here, there was a buyer. Almost a 1-to-1 ratio.
Wow.
So it's been everything from starting with the education yesterday afternoon. We had a women's reception that was sold out with a wait list, which was incredible. Right before, we had our welcoming and opening reception at the barns, which we were at capacity. Truth be told, we were probably over capacity. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then obviously we had a great education session this morning where we released some food service research that's available to our members and then did some breakout sessions on items that the industry cares about. And then 11 o'clock, the doors opened and it's been nonstop till 4:30 this afternoon.
Yeah, we saw, I mean, we were down briefly for the show floor.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wall to wall. And still going strong, even
it was.
Late. I mean, you know, and have you heard, so there's a slogan that's going around.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Well,
do I want to hear
you're
it?
You're getting a shirt made.
Yeah, and I already forgot.
Oh, I remember what it was.
You do?
Hugs, not handshakes.
Hugs, not handshakes.
I love that line.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot even who said somebody earlier.
Did.
Oh, was that you
I
that said that? Oh,
I
was
said,
that this
I
is
said we're
recording?
An industry of handshakes. I actually said we're an industry of handshakes and hugs versus transactional. And you can see it here in Monterey. You saw it obviously on the expo floor during our education. When you're even walking around the town or you're going to eat at a restaurant, I mean, it's a homecoming.
You're going to run into somebody.
And this industry, food service in particular, has been through a lot over the last 3 years. So it's nice to see the stabilization and you can actually see it starting to build. Because food service, I mean, trends are set. by culinary, by chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that informs what happens ultimately with our palates, our eating consumption, and it's a key indicator for where retail's going as well.
It's fun to see them excited. So we had Chef Travis Johnson on this morning.
Oh, great.
He was our first guest.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Chef Travis?
Yeah.
He was on fire.
Yeah.
And so that was a great way to kick off the day, and it is fun to see end users, I guess, if you will, excited about.
Yeah, and they love to come see the innovation, the new products. Obviously, the big push this year, and it's been that way actually for the last couple of years, is how can we continue to take labor out of the back of the house? And so having the wholesale, the distributors, more so the grower shippers and the business solution providers provide solutions to that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So that when product comes into the back of the house, it's so much easier to use for these chefs. And then they can be really creative and take all that extra time that they need to be able to come up with new recipes and put the final touches before a plate goes out to a table.
Yeah, we were just talking about with Nelia from Marcon, we're talking about value added in the food service space, which honestly I hadn't really thought about much. I think about value added more in the retail space, but we were talking about that quite a bit. It was just
Interesting. Yeah, the labor thing is it's real.
It's real.
You know, and it's we were talking. I think it was the you know the demand's there, right? People are dying to go to the restaurants mm-hmm. and eat, right? But the reality of it is that they just don't have the staff. They haven't cut the hours back. I like they stay open, and like I said, the prep time. So yeah, innovation is definitely coming in and making a big difference. And you know, I liked what you said. We talked a little bit about that earlier with Chef Travis. It's the forerunner of the, like you said, what's going to be at retail, right?
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing you look for. Is like, what's hot at the restaurant? Because that's how I fell in love with Brussels sprouts.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I can remember going back and you know it was not something you know. Ed and I talked about how we grew up as kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Texas, and you know it was beef. It was fried. It was, but you know, beans were our only vegetable.
Yeah.
You know, but the reality was Brussels wasn't part of it. So
right.
Yeah, I can remember working in Chicago. And going, and this is years back, you know, just before the Brussels thing. Oh, they did this great Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Man, I have become addicted to Brussels sprouts.
Good. We love you for that. That is fantastic.
You know, but I mean, but really, it's the restaurants, it's the chefs that take some of the stuff. And
cauliflower is another, I mean.
Yeah, I was thinking about the cauliflower
the resurgence of cauliflower.
Oh, yeah.
I had a cauliflower pizza bowl the other day. Similar to my story with Olive Garden and the broccoli instead of the pasta.
Oh, that's good.
But
a
cauliflower pizza bowl, it knocked my socks off. And it was a frozen meal. But then I started looking up recipes where you can make it at home the same way. And it just substitutes, you know, the crust for or with cauliflower.
Yeah.
You know, what's exciting that happened this week is we had about 100 school food service directors here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about where those habits get formed, it's mm-hmm. You know when we're young.
Yeah,
so
for
if
sure.
you grew up with beans and you didn't have Brussels sprouts,
right.
And, so now we're introducing all of these individuals to a whole expo of new products, value-added products mm-hmm. that they can use for schools. Imagine how that's going to change the trajectory of the eating habits of the next generation. Because I tell you, if we don't change the eating habits of the next generation, this will be the first generation that will not live as long as their parents because of what's happening with obesity, diabetes, you know, all those diet-related diseases mm-hmm. because even at very young ages, they're not getting exposed
yeah, for sure.
to, you know, the vast variety of products that we carry. So I am so excited about the K-12 food service directors that were here this week and the impact that's going to have on America's children.
How many did you have here?
100. 100. And that's going to grow, no question.
I saw the list. That was up from last year, I think,
yeah.
right?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Some major metro areas. I mean,
100%.
I think where the school districts are enormous, right? Cincinnati, we had the director from the Cincinnati
last year.
That's, I mean, that's a big, it's like, you know, Houston, same thing, right? There's huge school districts.
But you're spot on. That's how we change the trajectory, really. That's the kind of stuff that you've got to do to change that trajectory. Because,
100%.
You know, I mean, the lunch programs, they're not really built for health.
No, they're not, and they should be.
You know, and it's unfortunate, but yeah, like you say, I mean, it's like the most precious asset we have, and we're not really putting the right, you know, fuel on their plate, and like I say, teach them. And you know, produce, that's the thing, is it tastes really good, you know, and there's just so much you can do with it. And I think it's, obviously it's the right path, I think it's the right way to go, it's the right thing we need to do. I mean,
convenience has helped a lot. I mean, I've got a 22-year-old
mm-hmm.
that loves to eat vegetables, but he would much rather throw a steamer bag in the microwave and steam it for 2.5 minutes than, you know, cut veggies, which is probably what stops some folks from having those items, right? So convenience and value added, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously at IFPA, we're working hard on the policy side to ensure that we get the funding to be able to support, you know, school meals, school programs, the fresh fruit and vegetable program mm-hmm. that happens after school, because the stats are, I mean, can make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. 1 in 10 Americans, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables every day. 50% of the kids in this country, 50% do not eat a vegetable daily.
Wow. That's a pretty amazing statistic.
So if you think about the headwinds that are against us, and oh, by the way, our own government's dietary guidelines is that half the plate should be fruits and vegetables. So I would think our government programs should follow our dietary guidelines. Yeah. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And then if you think about the interventions that happen at the school level, so it's the whole ecosystem mm-hmm. that needs addressing. And obviously, we're, as I said, we're addressing the policy side. We have great suppliers and members that are trying to work the value-added side, work, you know, taking labor out of the system. We have incredible chefs and operators and retailers that are working the marketing side and quality. I mean, we have to have consistent quality. Sure. You know, when people go to a store or they eat at a restaurant, they expect consistent quality because you're not going to get repeat business if you have a bad experience with a particular piece of fruit or a vegetable. So we need to look at a holistic. They really do, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of it. If I have a bad experience, I'm not going to go back because there's so many other options to go. Spend my money at a different restaurant.
Yeah, and hopefully it's, and the problem is if you opt out of a fruit or a vegetable and now all of a sudden you're picking up a bag of chips or a Kind bar, you know, and that's the trade-off, that's obviously not good for any of us mm-hmm. and the business that we love so much and are fighting for so hard.
Yeah. We talk about young people in the education, though. I do feel like at least at my kids, mm-hmm. Particularly my son just graduated out of ASU, and maybe it's just being in a family where we talk about it or whatever. I mean, my wife was super great when the kids were growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have, sodas just didn't exist. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have Cokes, mm-hmm. you don't have things. And so she was really good, and maybe that's partly influence. But I just feel like that they are more educated than I was, certainly, in terms of health. I mean, they eat healthier than I did, for sure.
Yeah, I have strong hope for millennials and Gen Z, and we saw some data this morning that shows that they are absolutely looking for more fruits and vegetables, that quality is important, that convenience is important, mm-hmm. speed, mm-hmm. using phones, you know, they want it now, mm-hmm. And it has to be convenient. So, we're painting a really good picture for the next generation that's coming up. But, you know, our kids are blessed to have access.
Yeah.
And so, there's a percent of the population that the only meal they get is at school. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we're dealing with those access issues, that we have a food bank system that can handle fresh fruits and vegetables and not just the hard goods, so to speak, that we can get fruits and vegetables to areas that a dollar store or a convenience store is their only grocery store in town. Mm-hmm. So again, I think if we look at our kids, mm-hmm. absolutely, you know, they're growing up in a world where they understand the value of fruits and vegetables, they can afford fruits and vegetables, they know how to cook them,
yeah,
and they get excited about, you know, what's possible with them. That's not the whole, unfortunately, that's not the whole population. Some food banks, like Houston, is phenomenal.
Yeah,
but we need to work at the whole ecosystem.
Food bank.
It is.
That's
Houston's
really cool.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something, so I think it's important that you mentioned the policy side of mm-hmm. it, right? Because, you know, government is in everybody's life.
It is.
Sometimes good and sometimes bad. So, you know, we'll just go with that. But
yeah.
You've got a conference coming up.
I do.
Another one of my... So certainly I love it in terms of the selling show, but being in D.C. and... Walk on the Hill. Talk a little bit about what you guys have coming up and what's going to be going on this year.
Yeah, if I could have one call to action for the industry, it's to come to the Washington Conference. It's in mid-September. There is no more important time than right now. We have the Farm Bill being reauthorized. It technically runs out at the end of September. And, you know, 83% of the Farm Bill funding is nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
SNAP, obviously, is a big part of that. The Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program, another big part of that, which we advocate for our industry for.
And didn't you guys get something put back in the Farm Bill that they had pulled out?
Yeah, so we're working on, I mean, it hasn't fully been approved, so we actually, believe it or not, have 109 recommendations related to the Farm Bill.
Wow.
We have what's called the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance, so it's about 150 organizations, specialty crop organizations that come together over a year, quite frankly, that create recommendations that are important for our industry to get funded through the Farm Bill.
Okay.
So we're in the process right now, or the teams are in the process right now of actually lobbying for, you know, the things that are most important to us out of the Farm Bill. The real burning platform right now is related to WIC. What's happening is there's a recommendation right now to cut WIC by 70%. The fruit and vegetable, that's what you're talking about, I think, Craig, is a fruit and vegetable benefit that you can only use to buy fruits and vegetables, you know, that's an overlay onto WIC. Right now, women get $44 a month, $44 a month for fruits and vegetables. They want to take that down to 13. Children get $24 a month. They want to take it down to 11.
Wow.
What can you buy?
Yeah, for sure.
$11. And if nutrition is supposed to be the most important thing.
kind of going in the wrong direction,
exactly,
right?
And if you think about, you know, the implications of, even just think about education. Like, if I'm going to school and I'm hungry, how am I going to learn? I mean, like, I'm, you know, there's so many studies that show that that's so good. You know, having a nutritious breakfast, lunch, obviously dinner, is good for education and the future generations to ultimately lead our country. But we've got some work to do. So the Washington Conference, getting back to your question, provides us the opportunity to advocate for the Farm Bill, to advocate for nutrition programs, you know, immigration reform, continuing to advocate for workforce labor, which is a huge priority for us. Working with the FDA and making sure that we have a good partnership with the FDA. So and that doesn't include actually going to the Hill and lobbying for the things that are most important, because there's nothing more important than for our members to go to Hill to tell the story. You know, Craig.
Oh, yeah.
You've been there.
And it's funny. So, 99, I was class four.
That's awesome.
We were class four, and WIC, which was amazing. WIC, fruits and vegetables were not even part of WIC in 1999. So that was our lobbying effort. And I want to say it was 7 or 8 years from that point we started before it ever actually got, which is amazing. Now, here it is, fast forward to whatever, however many years that is, 27, 25 years later, and they're trying to claw it back. It makes no sense, but again, I said some things in government are good and some are bad, and you know that's the way it goes.
I will tell you though that DC is a contact sport.
It's a great event. I mean, it's,
you got to be there.
Yeah. Obviously, your job—it's your job to promote it.
It is.
I know, are passionate about it, but I haven't been for a couple of years. But I will tell you what—if anybody is thinking about it and has never been, it's an eye-opening experience. Particularly, yeah. I mean, I live in Texas, so I've been a couple times. But there are folks throughout the country that don't go to DC very often, and it's an energizing experience.
It is.
I mean, and it's—I come back politically charged when I'm not. I don't consider myself that political, but. Yeah. It's an experience. It's one of my favorites too.
It's everybody should at least go once, but you'll see how the sausage is made, and it is a contact sport, and you're spot on. And it's a great education.
It is. And I can't now, you know, being in DC for 18 months and talking with members of Congress. Yes, we will advocate. We will continue to advocate. We have our members back, but there's nothing like a member, someone in the supplier community, in the retail community, the food service community, sitting across from their member of Congress, talking about a story that will impact their district.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing replaces that. So,
awesome.
Would love to have as many people that are listening there to join us. And I promise you, we'll demystify DC. We have your back there for sure.
Very good. So I know you're up against a hard stop, and so
there's one other big event.
Well, I was going to say we will live one last plug, but we do. And that's the big show that's coming up. Where are you at this year?
We're in Anaheim. It's rocking already. You know, obviously we have the exhibitors have picked their spots, and I think we have a few booths left. So if anyone's out there interested, whether you want to be a first time exhibitor, or if we do have, I think we do have a little bit of space left, but we won't come October. You know, it's you know, we represent the globe. There's a lot of, if this show is any indication, this usually is the precursor for what's going to happen at our global show in October. It's going to be a barn burner. But what's most important is the connections that are made there. Obviously it's larger than this show, but it does feel small when you're walking around and you're seeing people you haven't seen in a while.
Sure.
We have some great education tracks that we're super excited about. A lot of networking events. So, I mean, the show speaks for itself, but we're excited because, you know, we're at a point now where we're at a turning point. You know, in a post-COVID world, code was awful, horrific. Mm-hmm. You know, never want to go through a pandemic like that again in our lives, obviously. But what COVID did do is it put health at the center of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And if this industry doesn't, if we as an industry don't take advantage of that, shame on us. Yeah. And the Global Show gives us a platform to come together, to talk about the challenges, yep. to say, how are we going to solve these collectively? And quite frankly, advocate for our industry. Because I just love our industry, but we're humble. And, you know, I tell everyone, there's a heart and soul to this industry like no other part of the store or no other part of the plate. But we're humble to a fault at some point. Mm-hmm. So whether it's the Washington Conference or the Global Show, we got to
beat our chest a little bit.
Yeah, we got to get out there. We got to be a little more brave. Yeah. We got to have a little more edge. Other parts of the plate and other parts of the store are doing it. And we're the good guys.
Mm-hmm. And we are. And you're right.
We've got the great products.
It is messaging. It is like I say, being constant advocates for it and getting the word out. You know, partly what we're hopefully going to do with something like this is
absolutely.
This is a way maybe to connect with somebody, you know, outside of, not just in this business, right? I mean, you know, there's other people that are interested in produce and what we're doing. And,
absolutely.
You know, we're hopefully can drive some of that change. Kathy, we can't say thank you enough for letting us be here last year.
And thank you for the support. Thank you
for being outstanding. Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank both of you for investing your time in being here and having people come and tell their stories.
You are selfish for us because it's our favorite part.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh well, if it's selfish for you, we're benefiting just as much. And you know, for you guys to invest your personal time in this way to allow people to tell their stories, it's a gift. It's a gift to the industry and it's a gift to IFPA. So thank you both, and look forward to seeing you in DC. Really,
re-inspired.
Yeah, really appreciate both of you.
For sure. Thank you very much, and best of luck.
Thank you.
I guess you've got some awards to go.
We
to.
Do.
All right, go.
Yep, we get to give out some awards.
Some awards and everything. And getting Ed and I will be back for the wrap up here in about 5 or 10 minutes, and then we will pack it up and head back. But for now, we're going to say goodbye to Kathy, and we'll see you.